We're going to sing together the B selection, Psalm 19, selection B, and let this be our prayer as we come to the preaching and hearing of God's word. Let's hear these promises and believe them by faith. The Lord's most perfect law will make the soul revive. The Lord's firm witness makes the simple-minded wise. Amen. Let's give praise to God using these words as we depend upon Him. Let's stand and sing Psalm 19, selection B.
The Lord's most perfect law will make the soul revive. The Lord's firm witness makes the simple-minded wise. The precepts of the Lord are right and fill the heart with great delight. The Lord's command is pure, enlightening eyes to see. Fear of the Lord is clean and last eternally. The judgments of the Lord express His truth and perfect righteousness. There more to be desired than stores of finest gold, than honey from the comb. More sweetness far they hold. With warnings they your servant guard, in keeping them is great reward. His heirs who can know, cleanse me from hidden stain. Your servant keep from sins, let them not in me reign. Completely blameless then I'll be, from guilt of great transgression free. I speak, be pleasing in your sight, and may my inmost thoughts be in your judgment right. O Lord, you are a rock to me. You have set me free.
Amen. You may be seated. Please turn with me in your Bibles now to Mark chapter 12. This morning we pick up at verse 38. Just considering three short verses this morning. Chapter 12, verse 38. We just sang here in Psalm 19b, with warnings, they your servant guard. In keeping them is great reward. Well, this passage before us is a warning passage. Jesus tells us to beware the scribes. And so as we consider this warning from our Lord, we're going to consider, we don't have scribes today as they did in those days, but we're going to consider how this passage here this morning applies to us. And so it's in heeding these warning that God guards and he keeps his own people. So let's give our careful attention to the reading of God's holy word, Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 38, and let us remember that this is the living and active word of God. And in his teaching he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Amen. This is the word of God. Here in God's word this morning, our Lord warns us about an imminent danger that threatens us all. And one of the particularly challenging aspects of this danger is that it is a hidden danger. It is a danger that exists within each of our hearts. It cannot be seen, and therefore it is incredibly hard to identify and to root out. Another, a brother or sister in the Lord, could not simply see this sin within each of us and thereby point out this deadly foe. A brother or a sister in the Lord could potentially say something like, "It seems to me like this could be alive in your heart," or "this potentially could be within." But then only that individual hearing that brother or sister would be able to really see and know what exists within their own hearts. Now, couple this with what the Word of God says about our own hearts. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? This means that not only are we unable to see what goes on within each of our hearts or in others' hearts, but then we also struggle to see clearly when it comes to understanding what goes in within, what goes on in my heart. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. That simply means that your heart and my heart are more deceptive than anything else. There is nothing else that is more deceitful than your heart and mine. The Bible also says that our hearts are desperately sick. This means that our hearts are beyond any human cure. The problem is not medical, but spiritual, and so there is no surgery and there is no treatment available to cure the disease that impacts each of us. Who can understand it, the Bible asks. And this is a rhetorical question that the Bible is answering itself. Who can understand it? No one. No mere man can truly know his own heart. He may be led to believe that he understands his own heart, but that is but an arrogance that serves as a blindfold over his own eyes so that he might be led straightway into a pit. Well, here in our text this morning, Jesus warns us about an imminent danger that threatens us all. He says, "Beware." And then he warns us about a great threat that endangers our hearts. And so here's the challenge today. Today we are dealing with inward things. We are dealing with inward realities. We are dealing with matters of the heart. And that is the challenge. We are dealing with concerns that only you will, in a way, be able to understand. No one else can understand this for you, and that only if the Holy Spirit should search your heart and reveal what is there by his word. Only you will know what this word this morning will find there as this word searches your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning we are dealing with inward things. We are dealing with matters of the heart, and we do this with fear and trembling because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Well, this is why we so desperately need gathered worship and the preaching of God's holy word, because God goes on to say there in Jeremiah 17 that it is God who searches and knows the heart. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. So this morning, Jesus begins by telling us to beware. Danger is nearby, and we must be warned by this danger lest we unknowingly become victim of it. Well, we're going to consider Jesus' warning in two parts this morning, so let's begin with the first. Beware the scribes. Beware the scribes. When you are driving down the highway and you begin to see signs like slow down, danger ahead, or use caution, how do you respond? Well, my guess is that you immediately take your foot off of the gas pedal. You begin to apply the brake because you are taking caution. You begin to pay much closer attention. And why is that? Well, it is because you know that each and every one of those signs were intentionally placed where they are for good reason. You know that to ignore these signs is to endanger not only yourself, but those who are around you, maybe others in the car with you, other cars on the road, or perhaps workers working alongside the road. Well, today, the Lord Jesus, by his word, has placed signs along the roadside of our lives. And these signs are saying to us today, slow down. There is a danger ahead. Use caution. And so this morning, our worship is a gift and an opportunity in God's providence to take the foot off of the gas pedal of each of our lives, to apply the brake a bit, so that each and every one of us can pay much closer attention in light of this warning that comes to us from God's word. Jesus says, beware the scribes. So let's ask and answer two questions concerning this call from God to show care. First, what does it mean to beware? Beware is a word that we don't use very often today. The most common place that I see that word beware is still on a sign that you all might see around town. Beware of dog. I think that's the most common place that I still see that word used today. Beware of dog. Boys and girls, you've probably seen signs like these around town. So what is that sign doing? What is it getting at when it is saying to you, beware about this dog? Well, obviously, that sign serves as a warning. And the purpose of that sign is to keep you safe. The purpose of that sign is to tell you there is a very real danger behind this sign. And if you do not use caution, you may be harmed by a dangerous dog. When you see that sign, it may seem at times to be scary or even somewhat intimidating, but that sign is still really and truly designed to keep you safe. That sign, that warning is designed to preserve your life. Now, that sign can only accomplish its purpose if you what? If you take heed to it. If you allow that sign to warn you. So what does it mean to beware? Well, it means to be cautious, to be alert. Don't go hopping this fence to find out what may be behind it. So second, what do we need to beware? Well, here in our text, Jesus says, beware the scribes. So who were the scribes? Well, the scribes were at this time the official teachers in Israel. They were a subset of the elders, and their primary task was to copy and to study God's law. But they were also given to teach God's law. Ezra is an Old Testament example of a scribe, and Ezra 7:10 says that Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. That right there is God's design for these scribes. This is God's design for these teachers. So why is Jesus now here in our text warning God's people to beware the scribes? I mean, Ezra is a prime example of the blessing that a scribe ought to be to God's people. You can read in Ezra and Nehemiah about all the ways that God used that man to bless his people by his word. So again, the question is, why is Jesus now warning God's people about the scribes? Well, it is because of what these scribes had become. Jesus says, "Beware the scribes," and then he describes them, "who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers." So this official position given by God for the blessing of his people had been abused by those who currently occupied it. And Jesus details their abuse in six ways. Think about each of these. First, he says that they like to walk around in long robes. These were long white robes that stood out from anything else. These robes were worn to declare the scribes' importance. These robes proclaimed to everyone else that these men were special and set apart. Second, they like special greetings in the marketplace. Now here Jesus is not talking about your standard greeting. He's not talking about hello or hi. No, he is talking about special greetings that the scribes desired and even demanded of others. They wanted to be called rabbi. They wanted to be called father. They desired to be identified this way in front of others so that all might see again that these men are special. Number three, they required the best seats in the synagogue. Even when these men went to worship, they were concerned with whether or not they would be seen. They went to worship not to set their focus upon God, but desiring that the focus of others would be upon them. Number four, they demanded places of honor at feasts. Whenever the rich gave these feasts, it had become customary to adorn their feasts with various religious leaders. And the scribes were all too eager to oblige. They again wanted to be seen by others. They wanted others to come in to these opulent feasts, to see these religious leaders, to know their position, and to know by their position that once again these men are important. Number five, they devour widows' houses. This is the most striking, I believe, of all. This means that these men spent on themselves what should have been devoted to the needy. They dedicated key resources to their own comforts while they ignored the needs of those who needed them most. They wanted comfort, ignored the needs of others, and simply forced the needy to go without. Number six, maybe this is the worst one of all. They made long prayers to hide their hypocrisy. Jesus tells us that their prayers were a pretense, their pretended prayers. These were polished and practiced prayers. These were prayers that were well crafted. They contained lengthy quotes and official language, but they were not in any real sense prayers. These were not in any real sense prayers because these so-called prayers were nothing more than a cloak cleverly designed to hide their hypocrisy. These were but a cloak to hide their true intentions. These men worked very hard to appear godly, but they had turned the prayers of God into a cloak to hide the fact that they were actually greedy. These men appeared very religious, but they were so ungodly that they turned the actual gift of prayer into a means by which they would hide their hypocrisy. These men were inauthentic. They were counterfeits. They were at the core hypocrites. In the parallel account in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says here, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. It's interesting. Jesus says, do whatever they teach. And what Jesus is meaning there is whatever accords with the word of God, do what they teach. But then he is very clear, whatever you do, do not follow their example. Because these men are hypocrites. These men are blind guides. These men are whitewashed tombs. And this is what Jesus says we must be aware of. We need to beware of the hypocrite. So let's put all of this together, adding up all that we have considered. This means that we must learn to live with discernment. This means that you and I, we as God's people, need to live with discernment. Using that imagery of the roadside along the road signs along the highway, it means that in our pilgrim journey, we must be cautious, we need to be alert, and we need to be on the lookout for those who want to be seen by others. We need to be on the lookout for those who use their religiosity to hide their hypocrisy. So then the question is, how can we be discerning? How can we be discerning? Discernment, just like everything else in the Christian life, can be abused in one way or another. It can be abused by either not being discerning or by being overly discerning. We are called to be discerning, but discernment can just as easily become a disguise used to hide our pride or a judgmental spirit. This is just one of the reasons why Jesus tells us to be careful how we hear. So how can we be discerning without always becoming disparaging? Well, true biblical discernment is, on the one hand, charitable and unsuspicious. If you are always looking for something, chances are you will find it. If you think that there is error under every rock, you will learn to see what is not there. You will learn to see error where it is not. But again, we still must be discerning. We must discern how we hear. We must not, on the other hand, be foolish or blind in our devotion to our teachers. We must be concerned about what we hear. So where is the biblical balance? Well, Acts 17:11 provides a beautiful picture of the biblical balance. Speaking of the Bereans, Acts 17:11 says, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." Did you catch the biblical balance for our discernment? On the one hand, we must be careful to receive the word with all eagerness. The Bereans loved the word of God and they were eager hearers. But then they also examined what they heard. And in its context, it is a positive examination. The book of Acts is telling us that these men and women were so excited about the things of God that they were eager to go home and to see how all of the glories of the gospel would be confirmed in their own searching of the scriptures. Anything that did not agree there, they were to reject. Well, here Jesus says, "Beware the scribes." So we, as God's people, must learn to be discerning, for there are wolves in sheep's clothing. There are those who are so shrewd and calculating that they can have an appearance of godliness and they can hide from us the fact that their daily lives deny its power. So, beware the man who highlights himself. Beware the man who highlights himself. Beware the man who says in subtle ways, "Look, here is how I am serving. Have you heard how busy I am for the sake of God's kingdom? Do you see all of the ways that I am sacrificing for Christ? Have you seen my humble service?" Beware the man who highlights himself. Well, if we are going to beware the man who highlights himself, and if we are really honest with ourselves, then we need to take Christ's warning so seriously that we are all willing to consider ourselves the scribe. Are you willing to consider yourself the scribe? What if I am this man? What if I'm one of the scribes? Well, thinking this way, Christ's warning transforms from a simple beware the scribes to an application to our hearts, be not the scribes. Let's consider that secondly, be not the scribe. Our sinful hearts are so cunning and so skillful that they can turn our attempts to beware the scribe into actual acts of becoming the scribe. And that is what we need to beware. We can set out in obedience to this call this morning from Christ and say things like, I thank you, God, that I am not like that other man. That guy who clearly wants to be seen by others, or that man who can't help but mention all that he is doing when he serves. No, I serve quietly and I give secretly without any mention to anyone. Well, in setting out to beware the scribe, we can simply become the scribe. So we need to ask the Word of God to search our hearts. What is in my heart? Remember, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Well, God can understand it. And so we need God by His Word and by His Spirit right now to search each of our hearts. Let's consider ourselves together this morning. Let's seek the searching of the Lord right now by His Spirit. The Psalms teach us to pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, with the help of the Holy Spirit, may that be our posture as we begin to think about ourselves. Let's begin corporately. What does this look like in the church? What can we see when a church has become scribe-like? Now, we need to begin by being very careful. I am not asking about any other church. I am only asking about Tri-Lakes Reformed Church. We are not thinking about any others. What does it look like when these things begin to manifest themselves here among us? Jesus warns us about the man who highlights himself. So can a whole church begin to highlight itself? Absolutely. Yes, it can. We thank you, God, that we are not like those other churches. We serve in these certain ways. We have these programs. We don't struggle as others do. In fact, we sing the Psalms. In fact, we tithe, we give 10% of all that we receive to missions and ministries. And in fact, we come to worship twice each Lord's Day. We thank you that we are not like other churches. Is this ever the spirit that we have among ourselves? Is this ever the perception that we have given off to others? Is this ever the experience of any who have visited and worshiped among us? Do we refer to things RP in a way that rings of the scribes and the Pharisees? Do we discuss our distinctives in a way which highlights ourselves? Do we boast of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, but we were really boasting about ourselves? Oh God, forgive us for how we have at times and in ways highlighted ourselves instead of you. Let us remember the words of Jesus Christ to the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, "For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you should have done without neglecting the others, you blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel." How have we concerned ourselves with herbs, with mint and dill and cumin, while neglecting the real feast of the Christian religion, while neglecting things like mercy and justice and faithfulness? How have we sinned ourselves? How have we become scribe-like? And in what ways do we need to repent? Well, having considered this corporately, let's now consider ourselves individually. Jesus warns us to beware the scribe lest we become the scribe. So what does it look like when a man or a woman or a child becomes scribe-like? What can we see within our own hearts and lives to help us see that we might need to repent? Now again, let's be careful here. Just as I gave the warning about us corporately, we need the warning about us individually. Don't be thinking about that other guy over there. These are questions for yourself. These are questions for me this morning. Think only of yourself as we consider these questions. These questions are in two categories. First, do you highlight yourself? Do you find yourself highlighting yourself? Do you find yourself making public your private disciplines? Here is how much I read. Here is how much I pray. Here is how often I fast. Here is how much I serve. Listen to all of the ways that I sacrifice for Christ. Do you highlight yourself? Second, how do you react when your service goes unnoticed? This reveals what's in our hearts. How do you react when your service goes unnoticed? How do you handle serving without public recognition? Do you find yourself getting incensed when your service goes unnoticed? And then just think, what does it say about your own heart that you are noticing that your service went unnoticed? How do you react when your service goes unnoticed? Who are you serving in your service? Remember the instruction of our Lord. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them." Jesus is here teaching us that there is a danger inherent in highlighting ourselves. The scribes here in our text were the upper echelon of the religious elite. And when others looked upon these men, they saw white robes, ornate prayers, special positions, and exalted titles. This is all that others could see, but Jesus here reveals what others cannot see. It is all hypocrisy. It is all hypocrisy. These men wanted to be well considered by others and to live in comfort day to day. This is what mattered to these men. They idolized the praises of men and personal comforts to the neglect of all of the needs of orphans and widows. But Jesus teaches us through the mouth and the pen of James, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So ask yourself, what really matters to me? What really governs my life? Is it the glory of God? Is it the honor of His name? Or do I find that everything seems to fall back down to myself? The scribes desperately desired to be honored among others, to be well thought of and exalted. They wanted to feel important whenever they compared themselves to others. They wanted to be thought of as godly and as learned, but they were more concerned with being considered these things than they really were with ever being these things. What does your private devotion really mean when you're doing it so that you can highlight it before others? Jesus here warns us to beware the scribes, and He warns us to beware lest we become the scribes. And we need to be careful that in heeding this call, we do not simply attempt to take our first step in obeying Christ and immediately imitate the scribes. I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. Well, in closing, we need to consider one more important matter that our Lord raises here. What happens if we fail to beware? What happens, boys and girls, if we see this warning sign that God has placed in our lives and we don't take heed to it? Well, here Jesus says that the scribes will receive the greater condemnation. What is this? The scribes will receive a greater condemnation. Why is this? What is this? Why would these men receive a greater condemnation? Well, first, because they rejected the truth. The scribes had a greater access to God's word than anyone else in Israel. And yet they used this privilege to prop up themselves. Second, they used the truth of God's word to hide who they really were. What an abuse of God's word. Rather than being searched by it, they used the word of God to hide themselves. They even used their prayers as a pretense. Third, they used God's word as a means of gratifying their own pride. They were feeding their pride by reading God's word. They claimed to follow God and to be concerned with the glory of his name, but they were so self-deceived and deluded that they couldn't see that they were caught up in their own worship. They were deceived by self-worship. Fourth, they used a pretended piety as a cloak to comfort themselves while exploiting widows. They used a pretended piety to comfort themselves while taking advantage of or exploiting widows. This is why they will receive a greater condemnation. And if we refuse to beware the scribes and to repent of their ways, we will follow into this greater condemnation. But that is why Jesus is warning us here in the text. Here is Jesus, the Savior, graciously calling us to repent of our sins. So how do we do so? Well, humanly speaking, this is impossible. Who is willing to acknowledge such hidden sins? These things are heinous. Who's willing to admit, "I'm a fraud? I've been living among you, but I've been faking it all along. I've been hiding behind this mask of my own making, and I work really hard every week just so that I won't be found out." Humanly speaking, who would repent? But here's the thing. What makes this sin so hard to detect, the fact that it is a sin of the heart, is also by God's grace and by his design what actually invites our repentance. Because to repent of this sin requires no public show, no raising of your hand or open display of a religious response, just a quiet, inward, sincere repentance between you and the Lord. In fact, this is a repentance that is designed to put this sin to death. By seeking to quietly repent of this sin that has been identified. So consider Christ this morning. Here in our text, he is addressing a sin that, make no mistake, it is native to every one of our hearts. But here is Jesus as a Savior. Here is Jesus in the flesh, refusing to count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He took on the form of a servant, becoming like us, taking on flesh. He came not to be served, but to serve. He came not to highlight himself, but to glorify his Father. And so he came to give his life as a ransom for many. The Lord Jesus Christ left the glory that he enjoyed in heaven to become the only antidote to this native, deadly disease that is that sin of self-promotion. And it is only by his willing emptying of himself, his willing humiliation, that we are redeemed and set free from our guilt of this sin and the condemnation that should follow. And so, if those who continue in these sins will receive the greater condemnation. This means that any and all who repent of these sins will simply receive a greater forgiveness and a greater pardon, to the glory and to the praise of God. So how is your heart this morning? Jesus says, "Beware of the scribes and be not the scribes." Only Jesus can warn us of such things, because only Jesus came so that we can be forgiven of such things. Well, may Jesus Christ be glorified among us this morning by a quiet, hidden repenting of such sins, so that we together might truly live to the glory and to the praise of our God. Let's pray together. Our gracious God in heaven, we thank you for the warning signs that you place in our lives by your word. And Lord God, just as people today tend to ignore those signs and think, "No, I've got it, I'm fine, I'll be okay." Lord God, we pray that you would help us to take heed to those signs. Help us to trust in you, knowing that we need this word from you today. And Lord God, we pray that you would continue to root out this sin from our hearts. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and gave us righteousness where we have only sinned. That he came not highlighting himself, but came humbling himself so that you might be glorified in saving sinners. Lord God, we pray that as this word calls us to look inward, that that look inward would drive us out of ourselves to Jesus Christ, to his righteousness, to his finished work, so that we might be cleansed of this sin, so that we might repent of it again and walk in newness of life. Lord God, thank you for this word. We pray that it would continue to do its work in our lives today and on into the future, so that you might be praised and glorified. And so we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's turn together in our psalm books now to Psalm 51. Having been warned by God's word, let's use Psalm 51a to seek the mercy of Jesus Christ. We sang in Psalm 19b about hidden sins, and perhaps some sins were uncovered this morning. Welcome to Jesus Christ. He gives us words by which we can confess our sins and find that mercy and pardon in him. Let's stand together and sing now Psalm 51, selection A.
Do 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 do. God be merciful to me. On your love I rest my plea. By your vast abounding grace, my transgressions all erase. From the stain of every sin, wash and make me clean within. For my sins before me rise, always present to my eyes. I have sinned against you alone, in your sight no evil done. So your words are proven true. Righteous are your judgments too. Truly I was born in sin, sinful then, conceived within. Surely you desire to find faithfulness in heart and mind. You will deep within my heart
wisdom unto me impart. Oh, with hyssop sprinkle me, and from sin I clean will be. Wash me from its sacred soul. I'll be whiter than the snow. Make me hear joy's cheering voice. Let the bones you crushed rejoice.
We'll receive now the blessing of your God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.